So I was in Jamaica.
Okay.
And I went out with the assistants one day. They came and picked me up. I got to go into their area.
What's the assistants?
Mission president has two missionaries that are like his little baby boys that he carries around.
Okay.
So I got to spend a day with Elder Christensen. Really, really nice guy. Really cool fellow.
Uh-huh.
We went out to Port Royal, which was this big pirate port back in the day. Got hit with a huge earthquake. The whole thing sunk.
Mm.
So missionaries were always like, yeah, that place is so wicked. God literally just killed it.
Is that... That's in parts of the Caribbean, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, sweet. So is California.
It's also burning at the bottom of the ocean. Yeah. I remember when Jack's like doing the gender reveal and... what was it? Captain Barbossa says, you best start believing in gender reveals, Miss Swan.
You're in one.
And they bomb California.
So we go out to the end of Port Royal, and there's a bunch of people that like live on it. And there's this old lady sitting there, and she's cutting weed on a Bible. Like, she's cutting it up in little pieces. Oh, we're like,
that's so metal.
We're like, whoa. Gosh. And she's like talking about how this girl, she's like, you romp with metal. Me on everything, which is just like, you know, you run with me on everything. You romp with me on everything. You romp with me on my hair, my clothes, my style, the way I talk. Just not my weed. And she's like, yeah, I don't think it's good. And she's like, foolishness. Like, but it's like, she's just cutting weed up on a Bible.
That was like one of the first things you saw when you were there?
In Port Royal.
Oh my gosh.
Not in Jamaica.
That's sweet,
like,
though.
Over a year in.
Should I do an intro or something? Like,
oh yeah, we'll talk about it. I'll do it. So, yeah. Welcome back. It's been a week. You know what this podcast is about, and if you don't, we just answer questions that people asked us. I'm JD.
I'm Tanner.
And this is with us today is our friend Brett.
Hi, I'm Brett.
We brought Brett on because I was hanging out with Brett today.
And we got presents.
That's probably how it's going to happen. Every time you bring a guest onto the podcast, will simply be because you were hanging out with them. So
I think we said that earlier.
We just bring them on.
When I brought my Jerry way into this by giving both of you pretzel bites. Him,
they were
more
good,
but
by the way. I had kind of low expectations, but like they were good.
Dude, they're freaking good.
I've never liked pretzels until I've had those.
They
pretzel
were good.
Bites.
They're so good.
Southtown Mall. If anyone is visiting Utah, because I know you guys don't get any like actual viewers from Utah.
Can we get them from Germany?
Yeah,
South Jordan mostly.
South Jordan, Germany.
Yeah, Southtown Mall's got this place that does pretzel bites, and it's cash. It is so good.
Well, I ate one, and then I ate all of them very quickly, in quick succession.
They
were gone
very
fast.
Like, they make this fun noise.
They're very sweet.
They're juicy, bro.
They're very juicy.
So, before we answer any questions, I did come on wanting to talk about one or two things.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I've been I talked to you about this, and I actually talked to you about this separately.
Go on.
But I was like, man... So some things have happened recently that the amount of disclosure I give, it will be minimal. You can give as much as you want. But I've come to a realization, because over the last, like, 7 days, I realized what, like, not, like, what it is, but I realized that there's, like, an actual divide between, like, real life and high school.
All right.
And I realized that because...
I get where you're going here.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about it already.
Yeah.
But,
which makes our listeners get the same information.
Yeah. So, about a week ago, I went to a friend of mine. It was their birthday. Went to a birthday party. Lots of high school students there. Had a good time. Cool people. Fun people. But I was just thinking to myself, I was like, man, I feel kind of like an old man, like an intruder. Like, I'm not that much older than these people. But I feel... a little weird, like, being around them. And I was trying to figure out why. And then a couple days later, something happened that involves a friend of ours. And I realized that the difference between what they deal with and what, like, real life issues are is pretty significant. Like, that doesn't mean that, like, they don't deal with things that are real. They don't deal with things that are, like... I don't mean to devalue you high school children. But what I do mean to do is devalue some of your experiences. So, like, for an example...
And honestly, I'm totally going to justify you in this because you're totally correct.
I don't even believe in children, really.
So...
they don't exist.
This friend of ours... Right? They recently went through.
Around the bush here.
I have to. Can I just be direct?
Yeah, just go nuts.
Okay, so
okay, well, the rules
I'm just
of the
saying how
is,
around the bush you would go.
I was gonna go completely around the bush.
Do you want to use names or what?
Do you care?
Yeah, no, I don't care. Well, I'm gonna use the name of.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but
so our friend Brett here almost recently. Forgot. Well, I was about to not use your name.
Yeah, well, like the rule of my other podcast is you can only use somebody's name if you're speaking positively about them.
I'm not going to say anything bad, obviously, but Brett, there was another thing I wanted to talk about, and I just remember what it is. It's circumstantial with this.
Yeah.
All right. Does it tie into this directly?
Yes.
Okay.
Brett was in a relationship for the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, he and this girl moved in together, and a year ago, Brett proposed. Like, they were engaged. They've recently separated. For reasons. But the point being, this is an issue that is in my life. This is an issue that I deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the same scale that Brett does.
Yeah.
But this is an issue that is present in my life. Right? The high schooler's emotional equivalent of this is Tom and Becky, who have been dating since middle school, broke up.
Are they in the 50s? Tom and Becky?
Bro, I literally know Toms and Beckys.
I've never met a single Becky or Tom. I've met a Bethany, which I feel like is more rare, but...
You're talking about rare names?
Ruth? Like...
Yeah, I found a gold class name the other day.
My grandma's name is Jamie.
I like that name a lot,
I feel
actually.
Like that's a very 21st century name. And like,
Jamie?
Yeah.
Used to be a boy's name. It's a nickname
named
for James.
After your grandma? Yeah.
No, I'm named after my dad.
I thought you got Doug from your dad, though.
Dad and I have the exact same name. My dad's name is James Douglas Tolley Sr.
That's weird, man.
They have the same name. Neither of them go by it.
It's true.
Anyway.
So the point being, I, like, realized that there's, like, this emotional disconnect. Like,
dude, the years 18 to 21 will mess you up. It's a weird stage of life.
Well, the thing that I, like, started putting together, and I've used this analogy a few times, but I'm going to use it again because I think it's good, is, one of the major differences, and we talked about how 6 months after graduation, everybody changes for better or worse.
Yeah.
That's a fact. You can't prove
that.
That
is a fact.
And I've tried to figure out why, and here's my theory here. Wizard 101.
Wow.
Okay, let me explain.
That's not a derogatory wow. I'm genuinely wowed that that's where this conversation just went.
Wizard 101 and games like World of Warcraft. And
RPG games.
Sure. That are free to play in quotation marks, but there's a paid section of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That is the example I'm going to use here.
All right.
When I played Wizard 101 a decade ago, I played as a death wizard.
That's
you
sick.
Had, right? There's like 8 schools of magic.
I've never played this game, but that just sounds
I
sick.
Thought death was awesome. You had like
I always thought it was too edgy for me.
Stuff. I was a super edgy kid. I always chose like the black and the death. And
I
the
did play
darkness.
Life at one point.
Right, but point
life,
being...
Like the board game Life?
No.
Life Wizard in
no,
Wizard 101.
No. Wizard 101, and I focused mainly on Life. It like, sucked, and I never
wow,
made it
Brett,
past like,
the very
first
edgy
area.
Of you to play Life.
Right, life isn't an aggressive...
I'm more Mormon than you guys.
That's kind of the point. That's kind of the point, though, is Life isn't an aggressive type.
Oh, yeah.
Black isn't a very aggressive type either, from what I remember. But the point being, you have like 3 areas you can go to when you have the free version of the game. You can play any class you want, and you can get through it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. And that's what high school is. High school is the free trial. You can play any class you want. You can be whatever you want. As soon as you graduate, you're now in the paid membership version. And when so me and my friend John and my friend Chance, one time we decided we were going to try to beat Wizard 101 in a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $15 for a month's membership.
That's a lot of gameplay.
Mm-hmm. We had to metagame. Like, we had to go in with specific, like, elements chosen previously, because they were the ones that were going to, like, ramp us through the fastest. So, like, we were playing, like, Storm and Fire, and one of us was, like, Ice and something else, and I was, like, Life and Myth, which are 2 types that I never used, but are a lot more viable for later game stuff than Death is. Like, it just made more sense for us to do that. So even though I normally would have been picking Death, I was now forced to pick this Life and Myth class.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the difference. When you're in high school, you get to be whoever you want to be. You're still in the free trial of life. As soon as you graduate, you're kind of forced to fill your role.
Yeah.
And, you know, choices we make in high school, they do determine things
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that last for the rest of our lives.
It's true.
Like,
not quite to the extent we think in the moment. But
right.
Yeah, they do.
But it's just like, I have, like, emotional needs that high schoolers don't understand and can't meet.
Yeah.
You know, just to talk about high schoolers and emotions, too, I feel like the way you deal with your emotions in high school also significantly change how you're going to deal with emotions your entire life. Because in high school, you also have the whole hormones.
Yeah, right.
Your pheromones are going crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you can't, if you deal with your crazy pheromones in high school well enough, I'm sure, I'm positive that a lot of those same people are able to deal with them after high school very well. And that's not to say that people who don't can't learn how to later, but
yeah, you know,
easy to learn sooner, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, better to learn sooner rather than later. But it was just like, kind of like understanding this disconnect and like understanding why some people who I know that really haven't grown up since high school, why I don't feel as connected to them, why I came back from the mission and it was like, this person didn't grow. It's because they're still acting like they're in the free trial.
And you've had the whole experience where you literally emotionally were completely fending for yourself for 18 months.
There's a lot of things that happened on my mission that I haven't talked about to anybody.
Yeah.
And I'm not about to start.
But, basically, these people came out of high school and... And, I mean, you, like, take for instance, you had a lot of friends who went down to the same university.
Yeah, Brett was one of them.
Yeah, they all went down to the same university, so Brett can vouch for this.
Yeah, we have a nice little sample for our population here.
Yeah.
Yeah, our sample population.
Our sample population is basically a Petri dish.
So, all the boys are John, all the girls are Jane, with the exception of Brett.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm part of the Janes.
Brett's a Jane.
Brett. Okay, so, basically what we're looking at here is all these people who went to high school together suddenly decide they all want to go down to college together. Mm-hmm. Now, if they all went somewhere where they all lived at home and they all went to a college at the same time, but they were living at home and they were going to the same college...
Even the ones in the same program became drastically different people.
What I'm saying is they would have the opportunity to branch out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would be in a situation where suddenly they were in a different circumstance... But they still had their same roots, so they could branch out different directions.
Yeah, like replanting a tree.
But the difference is they all uprooted and replanted in the same garden, in a different garden, but they all replanted together. And so they were used to growing together. They were used to experiencing life together. They'd grown used to this personality they had developed around these certain people. And they decided to take the first giant steps of their life surrounded by nobody but those people they had crafted that personality around.
Yeah.
So basically, we are now 3 years, 2 years, how many years?
Too
since
many.
Since what?
Yeah, since you graduated, two, three?
What year is
two.
It?
It's 2020.
Graduated in 2018.
Two, yeah, we graduated
Yeah, so we're now 2 years down the line. A lot of these people really exhibit very little difference in their personality from when they graduated high school.
If nothing else, it's been predictable.
Yeah.
Is that right, or is that wrong, or is that somewhere around the ballpark?
You know, some of them I haven't
The more
even
things change, the more things stay the same. You know?
Yeah.
It's like people act the same, but there's just slight differences that there's a talk from one of the elders or prophets, who Elder Uchtdorf. He always talks about planes.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know,
you're blowing my mind that you're whipping this out
right
now.
Oh, is this the 1 degree thing?
Yeah, it's the 1 degree thing.
Yeah,
you know?
So,
you know, it's just that it's because of those small things that have happened in people's life in like earlier years that you know, now they're on a completely different course despite being like the same plane.
Yeah, so yeah. To just explain what Elder Uchtdorf's analogy was, he said that there was an airplane that crashed, everybody died because two pilots had never flown this course before. When the plane was inspected, it turned out that their direction that they had pointed the plane in was off by 1 degree, which brought them like 100 miles off course, which crashed them into a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So a difference of 1 degree now is the difference of hundreds of miles later.
Mm-hmm. Disclaimer, so I'm not LDS like the two next to me.
That's why I said you're blowing my mind that you're whipping this out right now.
Yeah.
So what's your central point? What are you getting at?
I just wanted to talk about that. It was just bugging me.
So pretty much what you're saying is, like...
I thought it, and I said, I should talk about this on the podcast. And then I called you, and I said, this is what I want to talk about on the podcast. And I talked to Brett, like, 2 days ago, and I was like, this is what I want to talk about on the podcast.
You know, I know a good way to wrap this into philosophy real quick.
I know how to streamline it into the second thing I wanted to talk about, though.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
We haven't even had the second thing yet.
Really briefly, I did want to talk about emotional infidelity. Oh, okay.
Wow. We are tackling the big ones.
Because that's on my mind, too, and I've realized that a lot of people don't know what that is.
Yeah, define emotional infidelity in layman's terms.
Why me? Okay.
Because I keep talking.
I know he, like, gestures to Brett. He's like, oh, you take this one. I mean, like basically, like, saying knock-knock and then asking them to...
that's my favorite knock-knock joke.
Like, wait, I got a knock-knock joke. I need you to start it.
Okay, how?
I hate you so much.
No, how? Like, tell me. What do I say?
I need you to say the beginning of a knock-knock joke.
Okay, what do I say?
Brett, what were you going to say?
What do I say, Tanner? Tell me what I say.
You know what happens when you get to a front door and you don't press the doorbell, but you
okay, listen, I know you want me to start a knock-knock joke for you. What am I supposed to say?
You're supposed to say knock-knock.
Who's there?
I hate you. The D&D session yesterday and now this. Okay, Brett, what were we going to say about emotional infidelity?
Okay, well, I mean, everyone knows what infidelity is in a relationship, or at least the basic terms, you know. Basically, when you're in a relationship, you're supposed to find happiness from your partner. And to actively reject your partner's advances to try and make you happy and go find it somewhere else, that is emotional infidelity.
That's basically all I wanted to say.
That's it?
We can move on. So
Yeah. Give me the context here. I feel like there's a lot of meat here that we're not getting into. We're going to let the meat rot. I don't want to do that. I want to eat it.
Oh, wow. That's a... Yeah, okay. I mean... We're still recording.
Just
for a few
go.
More. No, so I was just thinking about it because some relevant circumstances in life have led me to wonder about emotional infidelity and, you know, like different ways that people can unconsciously be disloyal.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that is one that a lot of people don't know about.
I think it is highly more forgivable than physical infidelity because
sure.
it's very much harder to control your emotions.
Well, it's also super easy to do it on accident.
Yeah, yeah. You know, some people just have never had the experience of a full objective, like, look in the mirror when it comes to their own emotions or even seeing a therapist, you know, because maybe they've just been able to handle things relatively well throughout their life and
I
just don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, both of you said it was, like, kind of, it's more forgivable and it's harder to... it's harder to fight. It can happen more quickly. I'm curious, what would you both say? Like, how can you look for the warning signs of your own mind accidentally committing emotional infidelity?
Well, if I don't know. I really don't. What I was going to say immediately was if I caught, like, myself in that moment, I guess that's just a sign that I need to do some introspection and see if I'm actually unsatisfied or if I'm just being a dumb idiot.
But what's the moment? Like, what
I think
moment?
The moment for me would be, I would definitely know for sure is, am I trying harder for somebody else than the person I should be?
Sure. I've experienced that. I've totally experienced that. And it does kind of surprise you when it happens.
Yeah, because, I mean, it happens to everybody, you know?
Yeah.
And this is the whole thing where it's like, whenever people talk about a marriage, it's never easy, and you're supposed to, like...
This is closer to...
You're always supposed to be working.
This is closer to what I mean when I say that love is a choice. Like, it's a conscious decision.
Well, because there's a false mindset that a lot of people live in where you fall in love with somebody, and then you just will be in love with them forever.
Yeah,
and that's just how it
that's
is.
That's not how it is.
It's
dog
not how
doo-doo.
It is. Yeah.
You have to consciously choose to stay with that person. Like, you wake up, and you say, okay, I love this person today, and I love them because that's the choice that I made. As soon as you start unconsciously not making that decision, I mean, introspection, do you want to keep making that decision, or do you just feel like you're supposed to keep making that decision?
Yeah, see, humans aren't chemically wired like some birds to just be mated for life. It's like, humans are very much just, I'm gonna, you know, get with this person, and then, you know, fall in love for a minute.
See what happens.
Yeah, you're supposed to, you have to condition yourself. It's the same, it's working out, but for the heart.
Yeah.
That isn't cardio, I guess.
Yeah, wait, that's actually a great analogy. Getting married is like just working out for the heart, basically how it is.
Yeah, you have to, I mean, exercise, conscious
you
decision
have to be,
on the daily.
You have to be strong beforehand to some degree, though.
Yeah.
You know, you can't jump into it by any means, and of course, if you're not strong enough, you may not be able to work on a, like, loving relationship yet, but I mean...
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, that's what working on yourself could mean.
Yeah, no, you gotta be a strong person as an individual.
Well, I mean, like, we see it firsthand now. Like, I'm 23. Are you both 21?
No.
I'm 20. He's 21.
You're 20. He's 21. I think, like, we're young. I think we all know people who have been divorced who are kind of around our age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I I was at a wedding yesterday, too. And it's like, I know for a fact that that guy, he's going to be happy forever, because he's, I've never, ever seen him tackle a problem without a smile.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that guy is so nice, so good, and...
He's just ready.
Yeah, he's totally ready. I know for a fact that he would never choose a girl that also wasn't ready, especially since the girl's, like, 5 foot and he's 6 foot...
Whoa, four. What?
The girl's, like, 5 feet tall and he's 6 foot six, so I know for a fact it's real love. I wouldn't put myself in that much pain for anybody.
Oh my gosh. Cool. Yeah, that basically covers the things I want to talk about.
Okay, sweet. Do you want to do funny question first? Do you want to do intense question first?
What kind of...
Mine is long-winded. Mine is going to take a while.
Hmm.
If you were a soup, what kind of soup would you be?
I hate soup. I'd be a salad. Because I'm built different.
I can honestly say I've never, ever thought about this question. I don't know.
Let me tell you three kinds of soup that I could be. I could be broccoli and cheese...
That's good soup, though. When you get really good broccoli and cheese...
I kind of changed my mind.
I'm real good broccoli and cheese soup. I could be Jamaican pumpkin soup.
Oh.
That is nice.
Never had it.
Well, if you want it, you can buy me all the ingredients. I'll make it for you.
I would love to try some.
And honestly, Jamaican pumpkin soup again, but this time with chicken foot in it. So it's now chicken foot soup.
Nice. You've had a chicken heart?
Yeah.
Have you, Tanner?
No. Yes. Yes, yeah. I have. I went to Rodizio one time. They gave me a chicken heart.
That's the exact same place.
Between those three, I'd say Brett's the broccoli and cheese. Nice. I'm the pumpkin without the chicken foot. And you're the chicken foot.
You did wear that
I'm
pumpkin.
The chicken foot. I'll take the chicken foot.
Bro, chicken foot's not as bad as
well,
it
Well, if
sounds.
It's in a soup, it probably doesn't taste bad at all.
It's very obviously still the chicken foot.
I don't know.
They just boil it with it.
Brett's really apprehensive.
I've always wanted to chew a chicken foot. I don't
just
because.
You suck the meat off the bones.
Interesting.
Kind of funky.
So, like, if you cut off the... It's literally just a chicken's foot that's just cut off.
Jamaicans
and then just
different.
Throw it in the pot.
That's pretty cool.
And then they just boil it and they just suck
I mean, that's,
the meat
that's
off.
Not like most soup... That's how soup it originally was, right? They just, like, take a full animal and they put it in a boiling vat and leave it there for
like,
a while.
What else are you supposed to do when you got no refrigerator? You got, like,
you make
no
soup.
Spices? Yeah, you just
soup.
Make soup.
Let them eat soup.
Yeah, let that's them what eat she soup. Said.
It is.
That is what she said.
Also, maybe like a chicken noodle.
Huh? I'm thinking, not like homemade chicken noodle. I'm thinking like to be the expensive chicken noodle with like the fat noodles.
I'm thinking homemade.
Well, I'm thinking about because I never had good homemade chicken noodle.
I'm sorry, that your mom can't cook.
My mom's never made me homemade chicken noodle. Now I think about
you
it.
Get that. You get that like fancy chicken noodle with like the.
That
peas.
Was a high five.
You get the. That was a huge spike on the audio. I'm thinking like the home, like the chicken noodle with like the peas and the carrots, and it's not even so much soup. It is it's in like a really thick, like creamy gravy type thing, and they got those fat noodles in it. It's so good.
Like a
sounds like my woman
stew.
Yeah, it's like chicken noodle stew.
Red Bull stew.
Red Bull stew.
Red Bull.
I love Red Bull.
Your broccoli and cheddar
in
a Red
Bull.
Oh, that sounds pretty good. Yeah.
I'm a. Pumpkin soup out of one of those big
mason jars.
No, hold on. What's it called? It's like flour, but it's not.
A pot?
Wheat?
No, you make Johnny cakes out of it.
Oh,
dude,
man.
I don't know. Flat bread yeast?
I don't know. It's like flour, but it's not.
Unleavened
it's called,
bread.
Stop.
Sugar.
It's
powdered sugar.
Dude, I have no idea.
What
am
cornmeal.
I? Cornmeal. Cornmeal. Okay.
Yeah, I shouldn't know that.
It's a big cornmeal container. Mm-hmm. You're just drinking it. You can't really get the spoon
in
there.
It actually could be pretty good.
That's what I am.
Yeah.
And you're you're with the chicken foot just straight out of the pot.
I'm flattered by that, to be honest.
It's
I like
a dirty
it.
Pot.
I like to be straight out of the why you gotta do
flavor.
Me like
it's
that?
It's in Ms. Barrett's house.
I don't like this
Sister Barrett.
I don't like this.
She's like
6'5".
She just made us this delicious pot of soup. She's talking to her little 2-year-old grandson, saying, "Don't you want to grow big and be a giant like your grandma?
Don't you want to grow chicken feet?
Don't you want to be a giant?"
And then she's
like
"Elders,
grandma?
I picked you all of these apples," and we're like, "Sister Barrett, we can't take 30 apples. We don't have enough hands."
You're like walking back, like the monkey with the oranges in his hands, like back.
But we put as many as we could in our bags, and then we'd just be like, "I'm sorry, Sister Barrett, but you have to keep these other 35 Ethiopian apples that we cannot carry."
Were they good?
Do you know what an Ethiopian apple even looks like?
No,
bro, look it up right now.
I'll look it up right now. You want to move on to your funny question?
I just asked it.
Is that it?
What kind of soup would you be? That's a funny question.
Yeah, I didn't just make that up.
I thought that was really serious.
I took it seriously. So it's not really like a funny and a serious. We say funny and serious. No. Here, this isn't for you guys, so you audience don't listen.
Dude, that looks like a pear.
Yeah, it looks like a pear and like a pepper and like a mango kind
of. Yeah, straight up.
That looks awesome.
You like eat around the pit. They range anywhere from this big, closed fist, to this big, which is like freaking monstrous.
That's a huge
pit. I had one that was this big, and I was walking, I took a huge bite out of it, and
it's
I looked
like the size of a personal melon.
Yeah, I looked to my left, and there was a naked dude climbing up on a billboard, and it was dark, but he was, like, standing with, like this, like, climbing up, and there was a light just shining right on his crotch.
Dude, that's the cast of Gargoyles.
Huge. I took a huge bite out of my apple, and I just, naked guy on the left.
Yeah, see, but he's acting out how the naked guy was.
My companion and the Jamaican dude we were with both are like, you think we didn't notice, Tolly? Why would you draw our attention to it?
That guy's practicing for his role in Gargoyles, the movie.
Bro, that guy's practicing for being a freaking pothead.
He's not practicing. He is actively participating.
There's so many naked people in that country. Love All right. Jamaica.
All right, moving on.
It's a free country.
I got an intense question for us to tackle today.
Shakes in the room.
Somebody asked us, she wants an overview on some of the types of philosophies. She said particularly stoicism, cynicism, etc.
Okay, I'm going to start us off with stoicism.
All right, wait, I'm going to scroll down. I found this webpage.
So I personally am a stoic.
Is that a noun?
Someone, no, it's stoic.
Someone who participates in stoicism.
No, there's a story I read where this guy was like walking and these kids were being mean to him, and he looks at him straight faced and he's like, "Your words don't affect me because I am a stoic." And they're like laughing at him, like, "It's pronounced stoic." And he started to like cry and went home. So he wasn't actually a stoic, because stoicism is the fundamental belief that you have actually no control over anything that happens in life. You just have to be okay with it.
You just accept any circumstances.
It's just acceptance of circumstances.
So stoicism is basically just, I feel like that could be in particular.
It's Buddhism, but you're not smiling.
A lot of these philosophies are going to intertwine because they all have similar, like, kind of airs to them.
It's Buddhism with an I guess attitude.
I would agree with that. Then she said cynicism, so I'm trying to find cynicism on here, but it doesn't look like it's in here.
Diogenes was a cynic. That's his school of philosophy. Brett, do you know much about it?
No, I know nothing about cynicism. I have a rant to go on for nihilism, but not cynicism.
All right, well,
so
cynicism is a school of...
go ahead.
The purpose of life is to live in virtue in agreement with nature. That's not at all what I was expecting cynicism to be.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a little more cynical.
So I'm wondering where we got our definition of cynical from, then.
I don't know. It's the same root, but it's not necessarily the same.
It says, as reasoning creatures, people can gain happiness by rigorous training and by living in a way which is natural for themselves, rejecting all conventional desires for wealth, power, and fame.
Yeah. Ah, being cynical of wealth, power, and fame, then.
Ah, yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Being cynical that people are self-indulgent inherently.
So Diogenes the cynic lived in a barrel, and his only possession his only possession was a bowl. There's a story about how one day he saw a kid drinking water with his hands, and he said, like, "Oh, what a vain man am I," and broke his bowl in half.
Like, dude,
when he heard that Plato
kid's one-upping me, I gotta
when he heard that Plato had declared like the definition of man to be a featherless biped, he plucked a chicken and like walked into Plato's college and like held it up and was like, "Behold a man."
Alright. So we got through stoicism and cynicism right now. Those are the two that she wanted, but we got a lot more to get through.
We don't have to go through all of them.
We can go through a lot of them.
We can go through a few of them.
You have something to say about nihilism.
Yeah, nihilism.
So give us the fundamental bare bones definition of nihilism.
Nihilism in a sentence is the radical rejection of all value. Anyone who says they're a nihilist is a liar though. Because to be alive is to want something. Even if you want to die, you want something. So to kill yourself is not nihilist.
You just took down a bunch of people who are going to be really mad.
I don't care.
Like, bro, what are they going to do?
I hate everybody who says they're a nihilist. Because they're entirely wrong.
Dude, it's like a pretentious thing for people to say. They're like,
"Oh, entirely." Because true nihilism is impossible to achieve. Because as in definition, it's the radical rejection of all value.
So if you were a true nihilist, you wouldn't care if people thought you were a nihilist.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah, you probably wouldn't even mention it.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want to talk. Wouldn't
tell people that you're that. It's like
a true nihilist would simply go into a coma.
Centrism at its finest.
Yeah, like if you were there's no way to be a real nihilist.
It says
you can be depressed, but that doesn't mean you're a nihilist.
Yeah, it says the key idea of is the lack of belief in meaning or substance in an area of philosophy. For example, moral nihilism argues that moral facts cannot exist. Metaphysical nihilism argues that we cannot have metaphysical facts. Existential nihilism is the idea that life cannot have meaning and nothing has value.
Segueing into existentialism, that is the school of philosophy where people are just asking the big, like, why questions, like, what's the purpose of life?
That is me all the time.
What is the value?
Nihilism is probably closest to cynicism, but I think cynicism is the realistic version of nihilism.
Cynicism is the survivable way of nihilism. Yeah.
While we're saying words that remind me of other kinds of philosophy.
Hey, wait, you just said existentialism, and I actually scrolled to it right after you said it.
Well, yeah, I kind of already did it, too.
Well, yeah.
If we're just doing it,
existentialism is basically the counterweight for nihilism.
So we talked about this a lot in some philosophy classes I've taken, where I personally believe that nihilism is like a phase you have to go through in order to move into a different phase of existential thought. Like, it's a growth phase, basically. You molt and then you regrow, you know?
Yeah.
Like any good crab.
Says existentialists ask questions about free will, choice, and the difficulties of being an individual. How do we face the knowledge of our inevitable demise?
Optimism. Mm. You know what optimism is, Tanner?
No.
Yes, you do. That's cool.
All right, we're going to talk about hedonism.
Why not optimism?
I mean, I'd hope people know what optimism is.
And pessimism.
Well, okay, what's the importance of optimism and pessimism, and are they interchange, is it important to use both of them? I'm not being asked that.
I know. Pessimism is having a good attitude about things, like, regardless of the odds. Or, sorry, optimism.
I was like, really?
Pessimism is, regardless of odds, it's not gonna go well. Whereas realism is considering possible factors. You say, hey, this is probably what's gonna happen. And then, what was the other one we talked about earlier?
I don't remember what the actual word was, but I said it was naive realism.
Naive realism was,
positive, rational something?
Rationalism.
Rationalism.
Ah.
It was like positive rationalism is just like rationalizing things like through sheer logic, not at all considering like ethos or pathos to anything. It's just like logic only,
mm-hmm.
which, is, stupid because you have to consider, like, uncontrollable factors that are beyond logic, which is why pessimism and optimism are bad. It's why realism is typically inaccurate, because when you say you're a realist, typically you're saying something that is actually pessimist.
Yeah, and see, there are people who try to say they're both nihilist and realist.
But you can't!
you know, Tanner, you did say, though, like, are they important? And I think the real question is, like, it depends. What are you, like, trying to make them important for?
It's all,
like,
subjective.
What do you value?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, if you're pessimist or optimistic, is that important? Well, I mean, it depends. Are you actually nihilistic, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're nihilistic, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you're pessimistic, optimistic, or realistic.
So it depends on your school of thought that you're already basically put yourself into.
And we're back to Wizard 101.
All right, give us a Wizard 101 philosophy.
Just, you said school.
Oh, that's it. Wizard 101 is a cheap rip-off of Hogwarts.
No.
Argue with me on this.
Wizard 101 came out before Hogwarts.
Yeah, Wizard 101 came out before Hogwarts did. Idiot.
Wait, did it really?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I never played this game.
Wizard 101 can't be a cheap rip-off of Hogwarts because Harry Potter is just a cheap rip-off of Lord of the Rings and Star Wars.
Also, it's not cheap, so...
Yeah, that's like a $15 a month membership, sweetie, so... Why don't you check your facts before you come at me?
One time looked up a video of the people who, like, made Wizard 101.
What do they look like?
It's basically what you'd expect.
Absolute chads.
That's what I'm gonna leave
with. These insanely buff men that have beautiful wives and 8 kids each.
Each of the 8 kids are in a different school.
Every single adjective was so far off.
Whoa, you just called their wives ugly, bro.
I didn't... So, hedonism. Hedonism is the idea that pleasure or happiness is the one thing with intrinsic value. So hedonism is basically nihilism, except saying anything that makes you feel good is worth it.
See, that would be an optimistic view of nihilism, honestly.
Optimistic nihilism. That's right. What about sadomasochism?
What about it? I'm very versed in this topic.
Is that a school of philosophy? Is that...
Actually, it is technically Marxism.
Really?
Yeah, deadly
wait,
serious.
Wait, Marxism is on here. I want to scroll onto that. So you start talking.
No, I want to talk about hedonism a little bit, right. Just because we can talk about... hedonism was actually really important to Anton LaVey.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've talked about him on the podcast.
Founded the Church of Satan, yeah.
Yeah, the Church of Satanism in the 70s.
Jewish.
Yeah, he is Jewish.
And the Church of Satan doesn't actually worship anything.
Yeah,
it was made as like a middle finger to Christians.
Yeah, the only thing it worships is hedonism.
Yeah, and see, I like the idea of the Church of Satan purely within the parameters of it's exercising a constitutional right of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty cool. Everything else about it is whatever. Like, the people who actually practice it and think it's real are idiots, but...
That kills me that he started it because he just wanted to do a middle finger to Christianity, and now all these people are actually like, yeah, hail Satan.
The worst thing about it is that he used Baphomet as a symbol of Satan when Baphomet isn't a real anything. Like, literally, by using Baphomet as a symbol of Satan, you are robbing people of the ability to research and find out more about the Templars.
Is Baphomet the horned devil?
It's the goat head?
Yeah.
Baphomet, by made-up rules, is a creature that represents perfect equality. It is both man and woman, both goat and carnivore.
Mm-hmm.
It has boobs.
Mm-hmm. It blows my mind that he wrote an entire, like, religious text.
Yeah.
He wrote, like, a whole thing.
Not mine.
All this stuff about Baphomet's just made up, though, because in reality, Baphomet was the Kilroy for the French to target the Templars and
replace. No way.
Yeah, no, Baphomet was literally made up, and it was during the Crusades. Baphomet was the made-up god that the Knights Templar and the Pope and the King said that Muslims worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, literally.
Because it's their French accent mixed with them not knowing, saying Muhammad. And so it just got... Baphomet.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, these people that herd goats, so clearly they worship goats.
What blows my mind about this Jewish fellow that made this Church of Satan is that the Jews have the Old Testament, which means he had full access to all these accounts of, like, actual representations of pagan gods that he easily could have been like, oh yeah, Baal is the devil, like Baal-zebub, which... would have worked fine.
Yeah.
I mean, Moloch.
Yeah.
He could have used any of those, which are representations of the devil, and if you're pagan, you know that you're wrong.
But he hid the fact that the French persecuted and betrayed the Knights Templar.
Yeah, he's...
What a wiener.
He was trying to troll everyone, and he's even trolling people who followed him.
Mm. Well, his goal was to subvert followers of other faiths.
Yeah, basically.
And he's just a dumb idiot. All he did was get atheists.
He's freaking rich. He's dead, but he was wealthy.
He died rich.
He was wealthy as...
Which means he died better than us, right?
Oy vey.
All right,
also,
now
he met a lot of celebrities, so that was cool.
Well, yeah, because all celebrities are...
So yeah, basically, Church of Satan was centered around hedonism.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like, hedonist... The word hedonistic is used, like, as a slur now. I mean, I did a podcast episode of my other podcast. I did it on the Burning Man Festival that happens in outskirts of Reno, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of nowhere. Basically, people just, like, put up this huge city. It was originally made to be, like, counterculture, but now it's basically people just go and, like, have sex and do drugs for a week. And it's stupid.
Yeah.
And so I use the word, like, it's a hedonistic party. But it says that most hedonistic philosophers say you should read a book rather than get drunk, as reading is a higher kind of happiness than getting... Mm. It says snockered. Getting snockered. It says that.
Here I am, a hedonistic philosopher, saying that the only thing with value is pleasure and joy. But you know what really brings me pleasure and joy?
A good book.
Yeah, right. Freaking liar. Stop trying to justify
Freaking
yourself.
Freaking liar.
A subdivision of hedonism... also is a utilitarianism, which is basically just the focus on Big happy.
Big happy.
The big happy.
The biggest yeah. happy.
All right, how about you talk about sadomasochism and Marxism?
Oh, right. Yeah,
oh,
so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're on to Marxism now.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no need to go through all of these. We've covered plenty. I think we can just...
We're almost done here, to be honest.
Yeah, so one of the important things of why Marx was against the capitalist industrial society is because there were long work hours in the day, and this stopped man from being able to become a Renaissance man. And Marx coined the term Renaissance man because of the fact that any man in the Renaissance spoke multiple languages. He was an architect. He was an artist. You know, he was a musician. He was able to spread his wings and do whatever he wanted to. Now, a man in an industrial society that was happening in the Americas at the time was not able to do that because of long work hours. And he said, specifically, basically, you know, it's important that you work, yet you should also be able to spread your wings. And the work you do, it is important that you work, and it needs to be, it has to have a specific flow. He also used the term flow in the sense that it has to be hard and captivate your mind, but it cannot be back-breaking, inhumanizing labor. And, you know, and with that theology, or ideology, not theology, my bad, he was very much ahead of his time.
Yeah.
You know? And that's also where the sadomasochism comes from, is from him talking about flow, because he acknowledges the fact that you need to be working hard, and it needs to be something that is important to you. In order for you to be a happy person.
Basically, it says Karl Marx's main critique of capitalism was that the capitalist mode of production alienates us from the results of our labor, and that the tendency of capitalism is to overproduce and then crash.
Mm-hmm. That's the fundamental problem with communism is not that we don't live in a perfect world, but rather that we live in a world that is post-industrial revolution.
Before the Industrial Revolution, communism wasn't such a bad idea.
Yeah. Post-industrial revolution, it cannot work.
So
we've created too many industries.
So I just looked at this, and it actually says there's a difference between Marxism and cultural Marxism, like economic Marxism and cultural Marxism.
Yeah.
But it says basically cultural Marxism is just the critique of the practice of reducing everything to a commodity, like saying everything can be bought and sold.
That's a lot.
Cultural Marxism is the critique of that, which actually I don't think is a terrible idea, to be honest, because I critique reducing everything to a commodity a lot.
Well, I mean, turning sex to a commodity is an awful idea, right?
Yeah. Maybe we could pick one more.
One sec.
We talked about rationalism. Relativism. Relativism interests me a lot. As somebody who grew up in a pretty strictly LDS household, saying, like, this is true and this is false, and then going out into the world and realizing that there are a lot of people who live happy lives outside of the parameters of which, like, I thought was right and wrong, and having to, like, figure out, wait, is this okay for people to live happy lives but be, like, living outside of what I think, quote-unquote, they should be doing when I'm unhappy doing all the things that I think I should be doing and trying to, like, you know, figure, like, reconcile that. So basically it says, relativism is the idea that views are relative to perspective or considerations. This idea can even be applied to morality or truth itself, with some arguing that there are no moral facts or absolute truths.
Utilitarianism would very much argue against this.
I would agree with that.
It's just like the core belief that where you like grow is what you believe, and therefore what you believe is true to you. But just because you believe something doesn't necessarily make it fact.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people who believe, insert any person you don't like here, makes good points, but they don't make a single good point. And they believe that the things they say is law, doctrine, fact.
I
and that's just not
go
true.
Off and they just spew anything that they that comes to their mind, and they think that they're like God.
And it's
crazy.
Well, and it's like, oh, well, they must be right because they said it. And it's like, well,
and
that's
because
not-
they sound confident.
Which is why I disagree with that school of philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Because just because I believe it doesn't mean it's true. Like
I believe and therefore I am. Not necessarily
I
true.
I wholeheartedly believe...
in absolute truths?
No.
You guys are also really? Talking about a... there's a certain story that comes to mind. I can't remember who wrote it. But basically, this guy walks into the middle of the street. All these people. Yeah, it's like the 1800s, so everyone's super religious. And there's this person crying, like, God is alive, God is well. And he starts screaming, God is dead.
mm-hmm. God is dead, just to show how ridiculous it is to say such an absolute truth. You know, because everyone gets mad at him. And it's like, well, I'm saying the, like, equivalent of what he's saying is just different words in the end, you know, and you guys are only getting mad at me because I'm saying something that just you don't want to hear, basically, you know. But it's like, we have, like, and his argument is that, like, it's just the same thing, you mm-hmm. know. I'm just saying an absolute truth to me, and you guys have the same amount of evidence.
You guys think human beings are born with an inherent moral compass?
I think human
beings... We talked about this already.
Did we really?
We had a whole episode on this. But what's Brett's answer?
Yeah, Brett, what do you say?
I think human beings are born with a stat block ready to go, and they build upon it based on how they are raised. I mean, inherent moral compass? I don't think they have an inherent moral compass. I think they have a natural need to empathize with other people. And the ones that don't are sociopaths, obviously. You know, if you can't empathize with anybody, you're going to be a sociopath. But I think people are definitely able to work out how to turn off their empathy.
I like the idea that human beings are born with a stat block and we get to decide.
Speaking of sociopaths, once this episode's over, I'm going to tell you guys a weird update about my little brother.
Why don't you just say it now?
Because it's not my place.
Yeah, I kind of want to leave it at that, because that leaves a lot to interpretation. Keep people coming back.
Yeah, keep him coming back. I'm not going to talk about him again.
His brother is a psycho, though.
This is actually interesting, because Buddhism is on here.
It's a religion.
Yeah, I learned that Buddhism was a religion. And
you know, there are people who look at it like...
There are people who treat it as a moral philosophy.
And what's interesting is the guy who, like, Gautama Buddha, the guy who founded Buddhism, he never intended for it to be a religion. Mm. He intended for it to be a school of thought.
Yeah.
He wanted it to be a form of philosophy.
And now it is a religion.
Well, the cool thing is, dear asker, if you live in Utah, part of your religious education classes in middle school included Buddhism. You don't, though. I don't know how schools work outside of the state of Utah, but I'm sure you have a Buddhist friend. Why don't you ask them? I'm only saying that because I'm kind of done.
Yeah, we covered a lot today. Should we sign off?
We've been all over the place. All
right.
Yeah, no. So Brett and I talked about this in the car.
Okay, great.
About how we're going to close the episode.
Okay, perfect.
We did?
Yeah. So you put your hand in the middle like we talked about.
Yeah.
And then on three, we're all going to say the
yeah, key we say the sign off. Okay.
It's like, I told you.
Okay, ready?
One, two, three. Really? You weren't even going to try?
I was going to wait for you guys to say it, and then I was going to just join in.